My name is Bert,
and I lead the youth at C3 Frio and Kwinana. Just a random question. You know, I always have a little, no pun intended, questions. But did you know what Moses did when he woke up, the first thing that Moses did when he woke up? Does anybody know?
Hebrews.
So, I'd like to thank God and Jesus for this opportunity, without whom, without the blood of Jesus, I would not be standing here. I'd also like to thank Pastor Stephen and Nanami. They've been great pillars of support in just, you know, mentoring me. And all as leaders can agree to that, that they've played an exceptional role over the 24-25 season, and they continue to do so, inspiring us through Jesus Christ. I'd like to acknowledge my wife, without whom I wouldn't get enough sleep. And you don't have sleep, you have a cranky husband. So, and my child, Joseph, who's been a miracle child. I think there's a photo up there from yesterday. We were at youth camp yesterday. So we joined Hepburn Heights. And what was really amazing about last night was the message was about love. And as parents, you know, I dream about things. I watch TV, I watch sports and stuff. I dream about these things that I want Joseph to have. Like, you know, I want him to win the gold medal somewhere. And I want him to do good at school. But, you know, we always want our kids to achieve better. And last night was something that was offered to these kids. Each kid was prayed upon and prophesied upon. The name of Jesus spoken upon. So I encourage you that you, if you have children who are from year 6 to year 12, to send them to the youth program that we run on Friday, and also to events like these where leaders from different churches prophesy and speak over their lives and pray over them and encourage them, because it's the word of God that brings us where we want to be at the end of our life. Amen? There are going to be a lot of scriptures I'm going to be sharing today, and there are going to be a lot of points. So if you take notes, I'd recommend you get ready. Seek God fast. This is a church-wide call to breakthrough and deliverance. In Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Fasting isn't optional. It is a spiritual discipline and a powerful practice for every believer that as we step into our Seek God fast this January, we set aside time to seek God intentionally, believing for breakthrough and deliverance in our life, our church, and communities. It's very important that we seek God intentionally. He's a God of intention. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have sent his only son to die for us. Prayer and fasting is something that changed my life. And I have a lot of testimonies of prayer and fasting that has brought me to where I am. As you know, there may be different kinds of fasting. There is a complete fast where you abstain from food from your last meal to about 6 p.m. the next day. There is a partial fast that you can do where you abstain from certain foods that you love. And then there is the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast is fruits and vegetables. And what kind of fast you do is up to you. Because it is between you and God and what God places his finger on that you need to choose what you need to do. It is important to know the purpose, though, and I hope that I can explain that through my message. We'll be looking at certain stats today about what reading the Bible does to your brain and why I believe that it is crucial to how you pray and how you fast effectively. If you don't read your Bible when you pray and fast, you're on a hunger strike. Nobody wants to be on a hunger strike. And so to be able to pray effectively, you need to seek God. And the only way you seek God is through his word. The message today is divided into three parts. Part one is seek God. Part two is we'll be looking at some of the heroes of the Bible and their journey through prayer and fasting. Part three of the message is understanding breakthrough and deliverance. It's very important to understand what breakthrough is and what deliverance is. Because if I have a cold and I plaster my leg, I'm not really treating the problem. Or if I have a headache and I rub cream on my hand, I'm not really treating the problem. So it's very important to understand and address that when we look at breakthrough and deliverance, what is it that our problem is? And how do we invite God into that situation? In a study done by the Center for Bible Engagement a few years ago, they found this in the following individuals that read their Bible up to 3 days a week. They had a 57% lower odds of getting drunk, 68% lower odds of sex outside marriage, 61% lower odds of pornography, 74% lower odds of gambling, and any of these habits, 57% lower odds. Now, this is no new thing that the entire book of psychology, if you read your Bible, is based on kind of the Proverbs and the teachings of the Bible. And it is a time and tested method of people who read their Bibles are genuinely happy, are genuinely know what they're doing in life. Now, I'm not saying that you know, we're trying to elevate ourselves or try to puff off our spirits. But I can say without a doubt that if you continue to spend time in the scripture, you will continue to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. As long as we are connected to the Word, the Spirit, and His presence, we continue to get transformed into Him. So how do we seek God? In order to know how to seek God, we must first look at what the Word says about it. And it is amazing that if you read your Bible on a daily basis, you'll find that most answers to all your problems are in the Bible. That you can find the answers that you need for any situation in your life in the Bible. There are multiple scriptures that show us how to seek God. Keep your tongue from evil, turn from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Psalms 34:12-16. Cast your cares upon the Lord, Psalms 55:22. Forsake evil ways and thoughts, Isaiah 55:6-7. Have clean hands, pure hearts, don't lift your souls to idols, don't swear by what is false, Isaiah 24:4-6. Serve God with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, 1 Chronicles 2:8. But there's one scripture in the Bible that captivates my heart. It is in Jeremiah 29:12-13. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. You know what is very interesting about this scripture? Is that it has directions on how to seek God. It's like a map. It says call upon to start a conversation. It's to pray and He will listen. It's to engage with God. It's very important that when you start a conversation that you engage with God. It is a two-way conversation where you ask, you speak, and you listen. Search me with all your heart. And it says we will seek Him and find Him. Search me with all your heart. Do you know there's only one place in the entire world where you can search for God? That's the Bible. When you start reading your scriptures and you start to use that as a conversation starter, that my soul will magnify the Lord, that my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, that I will bless your name for your goodness and mercies are for me, that God you are for me, that when we use these scriptures as conversation starters, we know who God has created us to be. It's an affirmation that you speak unto yourself. Second, you know the authority that Christ carries for every situation you face. And third, you're not expecting a result, but believing in God's plan for you and your life. And this includes all your situations, every one of them that you face. Now that we've seen on how to see God, we look at part two, that is heroes and their journeys. We will look at Daniel and Esther and their journey through prayer and fasting. In Daniel 10:3, Daniel has been fasting because he received a vision. And he says, while I was mourning, I ate no pleasant food, nor meat, nor wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all. 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel received a vision from God that affected the people of Israel. And he wanted clarity from God and wanted God to intervene in sort of like a breakthrough for the people of Israel. So he chose to seek God through prayer and fasting in order to be strengthened for the vision to be fulfilled. You see, in chapter 9, he has a conversation with Gabriel and Jesus. Am I right in saying that Jesus? Because it says the one like the Son of Man. Because the entire Bible from the book of Genesis up to Revelation talks about Jesus Christ and his redemption for us until he comes again. And in that conversation, it shows us how Daniel's prayer was answered on the very first day that he prayed. That on the very first day that Daniel prayed, that his prayer was answered. Gabriel was caught up somewhere, fighting the prince of Persia. And Michael came and rescued him. And then he came to Daniel and gave out the vision. But what is important to see here, that the discipline that Daniel chose, not only, this is in chapter 10, not only in that, but even in chapter 1, where he chose to fast from the king's food in order to keep himself holy for God. That the discipline of prayer and fasting in seeking God for his answers for the problems that he faced. We see a very similar thing happen with Esther. In Esther 4, 15 and 16, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." You know, if you read the backstory of this and you read the forefront of this, there's this guy called Haman who basically had this presence of evil upon him. And he wanted to destroy the Jews. And Mordecai knew about it. And what happens with this is this: Esther was a Jew and she was a queen. And when she got to know about this, she chose to fast. She could have chose to go to the king before prayer and fast and tell him, "Hey, this is what one of your subjects is doing, you know. Can you please address it because I'm the queen?" But no. Instead of violence, she chose prayer and fasting, and through that, to address the problem, to address the evil influence over the life of the Jews. If I had to sum up the action and the answer to what Daniel and Esther did, it was something like this. Fasting allows us to loosen the grip of the world and the influences of it, putting our focus on being present in the presence. It's very important to know that it's important to be in the presence, to be present in the presence of God. It is like practice. You know, practice, they say practice makes you perfect. Or at least it has the idea that you put aside certain distractions in order to be able to attain what you want to achieve. Similarly, it's very important to put our mind and focus on certain things in life that we want to achieve. The goal of fasting is to draw nearer to God. We put aside distractions. We put aside distractions of the world intentionally and set aside time that would occupy our devotion to be in his presence. You know what we learn when we do that? We learn to put prayer as our first resort and not our last. We learn to reset our soul, renew it from the inside out, so that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is a very well-known scripture that it says, "With prayer and supplications, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds." It's very important, and Paul speaks about it extensively, and then he goes about to say that I can do all things through Christ. And the reason he says that is because if you read the context of the whole chapter, he speaks about being content, being happy in every situation, that he can be beaten, he can be sad, he can be happy. You can put him in any situation, but he is content in who God has created him to be. He is content in the promises of Jesus Christ for his life. That he knows that the long end of eternity is much better than the short end of life. That he knows that life for Christ is more important than life with anything else. It takes your normal habits. Prayer and fasting will take the normal habits of your daily life and shift your focus on the one who sustains you. Because if you believe that God is the ultimate sustenance, you need to put your focus so that he can sustain every aspect of your life. It's important to understand that we draw from God's Holy Spirit, that freely he has given us his Spirit, and we draw from that to live our life. Now that we've seen how to seek God and draw inspiration from the heroes, we now look at part three of the message, and that is understanding breakthrough and deliverance. Breakthrough, physical; deliverance, spiritual. Breakthrough, in a sense, a breakthrough refers to a profound shift or advancement. There's a slide, yep. Or advancement, often in the context of overcoming obstacles, achieving victory, or experiencing God's transformative power in our life. It's very important to understand that breakthrough is in the physical. You need a breakthrough from a certain situation at work. You need a breakthrough in finances. You need a breakthrough in health. You need a breakthrough if your car's broken down and you need quick solutions. That's where you need breakthrough. Deliverance is mind and heart. And there's a reason why I say deliverance is mind and heart. Deliverance is needed. It's very important. Deliverance is needed when you don't have a clear idea of who you are in Christ and your heart chooses to open doors that are not from God. When you don't have a clear identity of God being the solution for what you are facing, you turn to other things. You turn to the physical. When you turn to the physical, you open doors. But you need deliverance. You need God and you need Christ. You need prayer for deliverance, for that door to be closed. And it's as simple as this. You can close the door by receiving Jesus Christ. But if it's the breakthrough that you need, you've got to put that into habit. If it is a breakthrough for addiction, you've got to put that cigarette down. You can't roam with a packet of smokes and say, I want to quit smoking. It's not going to work. When I drank, nobody knew I drank because nobody knew that I drank because I was high performing, you know. I did what I had to do. I worked. For me to be able to give up alcohol, I had to tell myself that I don't drink. So when somebody asked me, Bert, do you drink? Or you used to drink? I don't drink. I was not like, oh, you know, there was a time when I used to drink and, you know, I did not linger in the past. I don't drink. I stopped taking routes that were next to the beer and wine shop. I stopped going to parties that had alcohol. Eventually, I put that into habit of not drinking and I quit drinking. So now I don't drink. You know, we see that Daniel needed the strength for himself and the people from what was going to happen. Esther needed deliverance from the evil actions of Haman. So just as them, what's your story? We've looked at the scripture. What's your story, this prayer and fast? What are you asking, or what are you letting God place his finger upon? As a church, we are praying to be kingdom catalysts. Kingdom catalysts, something that happens suddenly. Move of God that happens suddenly. Revival that happens suddenly. Breakthrough that happens suddenly. Deliverance that happens suddenly. We don't know how it happens. It happens suddenly. Jesus said certain deliverances need the discipline of prayer and fasting. We all know that story in the Bible where the disciples couldn't deliver the little boy. And so they came to Jesus and said, hey, you know, we've been trying to do the same thing that you did. And he said certain deliverances need the discipline of prayer and fasting. What is it that you are willing to place at the altar today? I'd like to invite the worship team up. What is it that you want to place at the altar? What is something in your life that has been lingering for so long that you are tired of it, that you want to get rid of it? The only way to break, to have something break in the cycle of your life is to give it to God. The only way to have deliverance in your family is to invite Jesus. Day one of the fast, we're looking at seeking God, building an altar of worship. It's very important to worship God. It's very important to build that altar. It's very important to acknowledge the Creator, to acknowledge the Father, to acknowledge love, to acknowledge belonging. On day two, it's the family that we're praying for, that we are a family in Christ, that we are building an altar of unity. That together, we are one body in Christ. On day three, we're praying for the church. An altar of purpose, that we purposefully are part of something bigger. It doesn't matter how small. There's nothing meaningless in the house of God. Every action counts. It says, do not despise the small beginnings. So as a church, you play a part to touch the community around you. And so day four, we pray for the community, is building an altar of compassion. Jesus said, when he died on the cross, forgive them for they know not what they do. He said the two greatest commandments was to love your God and to love your neighbor. An altar of compassion. To forgive someone 70 times 7. To love someone like Christ loved you. And we love because he loved us first. Day five, we're praying for breakthrough. We're building an altar of faith. We need faith to step into the things of God. We need faith to carry people along with us, to point them to Jesus. So I urge you, as we enter into this new season, this new year, that God places a finger on our pulse, that we are able to know what we need to fast from, that we are able to receive wisdom and clarity around the things during that time. Intentionally spending time in prayer, intentionally inviting the Holy Spirit into our life to enlighten us, to put light on the things that need work. So that you may have the ability to know in whose image you have been created and the power that rests in you when you continue to dwell in His presence. It's simple. It's the presence of belonging and love. It's the presence where you access healing, abundance, deliverance, peace for yourself and others. The timing of your fast is not important, as the strength of your focus on God as you fast. The timing of your fast is not important, as the strength of your focus on God as you fast. And as I invite you to stand, if this is you, that there are things in your life that have been there, that you believe have been passed down, that you believe have been lingering in your family for a very long time, you know it is, but you've always choose to sideline it. If there's people in your family that you've been praying for a very long time, you've been praying for healing, you've been praying for them to come to salvation. Or it may be as simple as you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In just a few minutes, I'm going to open the altar. I'm going to pray and I'm going to open the altar. And then the leaders are going to pray with you, that we're going to stand with you in the gaps, believing for deliverance and believing for breakthrough in your life. That we as a church are praying for you from today, that we draw the line in the sand. That the work of the cross is the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we are healed by His stripes. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. And I want you to experience that freedom. So as the worship team sings, new wine. You know, it's really hard to put new wine into old skins. Because the wine skins need to stretch. So are you willing to stretch? And so, Father, I thank you for everyone present here, Lord. I thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding, Father. I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, your Son, who died on the cross and paid the price for us. Even though we weren't born then, you still paid the price for us so that we may be called sons and daughters in Christ. That we are made in His image, that we are reborn into the image of your Son, Lord. And so I pray that as we continue to worship, that we open our hearts and minds to your Holy Spirit to come do what only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name I pray.